"What's that bloody Freemason doing?" says the citizen, prowling up and down outside. "What's that?" says Joe. "Here you are," says Alf, chucking out the rhino. "Talking about hanging, I'll show you something you never saw. Hangman's letters. Look at here." So he took a bundle of wisps of letters and envelopes out of his pocket. "You cotton," says I. "Honest Injun," says Alf. "Read them." So Joe took up the letters. "Who are you laughing at?" says Bob Doran. So I saw there was going to be a bit of a dust. Bob's a queer chap when the porter's up in him. So, says I, just to make talk, "How's Willie Murray these times, Alf?" "I don't know," says Alf. "I saw him just now in Capel Street with Paddy Dignam, only I was running after that." "You what?" says Joe, throwing down the letters. "With who?" "With Dignam," says Alf. "Is it Paddy?" says Joe. "Yes," says Alf. "Why? Don't you know he's dead?" says Joe. "Paddy Dignam dead?" says Alf. "Aye," says Joe. "Sure, I'm after seeing him not 5 minutes ago," says Alf, "as plain as a pikestaff." "Who's dead?" says Bob Doran. "You saw his ghost then," says Joe, "God between us and harm." "What?" says Alf. "Good Christ, only for what? And Willie Murray with him, and the two of them there near whatchamacallums." "What? Dignam dead?" "What about Dignam?" says Bob Doran. "Who's talking about dead?" says Alf. "He's no more dead than you are." "Maybe so," says Joe. "They took the liberty of burying him this morning anyhow." "Paddy?" says Alf. "Aye," says Joe. "He paid the debt of nature. God be merciful to him." "Good Christ," says Alf. "Be gob, he was what you might call flabbergasted." "There he is again," says the citizen, staring out. "Who?" says I. "Bloom," says he. "He's on point duty up and down there for the last 10 minutes. And be gob, I saw his physogue do a peep in and then slither off again. Little Alf was not always. Faith he was. "Good Christ," says he, "I could have sworn it was him." And says Bob Doran, with a hat on the back of his pole, lowest blank out in Dublin when he's under the influence. "Who said Christ is good?" "I beg your parsnips," says Alf. "Is that a good Christ," says Bob Doran, "to take away poor little Willie Dignam?" "Ah, well," says Alf, trying to pass it off, "he's over all his troubles." But Bob Doran shouts out of him, "He's a bloody ruffian, I say, to take away poor little Willie Dignam." Terry came down and tipped him the wink to keep quiet, that they didn't want that kind of talk in a respectable licensed premises. And Bob Doran starts doing the weeps about Paddy Dignam, true as you're there. "The finest man," says he, snivelling. "The finest, purest character." "The tear is bloody near your eye," talking to his bloody hat. "Fitter for him to go home to the little sleepwalking bitch he married. Mooney, the bum bailiff's daughter. Mother kept a kip in Hardwick Street. They used to be surveying about the landings. Bantam Lyons told me that was stopping there. At 2 in the morning, without a stitch on her, exposing her person, open to all comers, fair field and no favour. The noblest, the truest," says he, "and he's gone. Poor little Willie, poor little Paddy Dignam." Old Gary Owen started growling again at Bloom that was skeezing round the door. "Come in, come on, he won't hate you," says the citizen. So Bloom slogs in with his cod's eye on the dog, and he asks Terry, "Was Martin Cunningham there?" "Oh, Christ, McCown," says Joe, reading one of the letters. "Listen to this, will you?" And he starts reading out one. 7 Hunter Street, Liverpool. "To the High Sheriff of Dublin, Dublin. Honoured sir, I beg to offer my services in the above-mentioned painful case. I hanged Joe Gann in Bootle Jail on the 12th of February, 1900, and I hanged..." "Show us, Joe," says I. "Private Arthur Chase for foul murder of Jesse Tilsett in Pentonville Prison, and I was assisting when..." "Jesus," says I. "Billington executed the awful murderer, Toad Smith." The citizen made a grab at the letter. "Hold hard," says Joe. "I have a special knack of putting the noose once in he can't get out, hoping to be favoured or remain honoured, sir. My terms is 5 guineas, H. Rumbold, Master Barber." "And a barber's bloody barbarian he is too," says the citizen. "And the dirty scrawl of the wretch," says Joe. "Here," says he, "take them to hell out of my sight, Alf." "Hello, Bloom," says he. "What'll you have?" So they started arguing about the point, Bloom saying he wouldn't and he couldn't and excuse him, no offence and all to that. And then he said, well, he'd just take a cigar. God, he's a prudent member and no mistake. "Give us one of your prime stinkers, Terry," says Joe. And Alf was telling us there was one chap sent in a mourning card with a black border around it. "They're all barbers, you see, from the black country that would hang their own fathers for 5 quid down," and travelling expenses. And he was telling us there's two fellas waiting below to pull his heels down when he gets the drop and choke him properly. And then they chop up the rope after and sell the bits for a few bob a school. So they started talking about capital punishment, and of course Bloom comes out with the why and the wherefore and all the codology of the business, and the old dog smelling them all the time. I'm told those Deweys does have a sort of a queer odour coming off them for dogs. About, I don't know what, all deterrent effect and so forth and so on. There's one thing it hasn't a deterrent effect on, says Alf. What's that, says Joe? The poor bugger's tool that's been hanged, says Alf. That's so, says Joe. God's truth, says Alf. I heard that from the head warder that was in Kilmainham with the hand Joe Brady, the Invincible. He told me when they cut him down after the drop, it was standing up in their faces like a poker. Real in passion, strong in death, says Joe, as someone said. Oh, that can be explained by science, says Bloom. It's only a natural phenomenon, don't you see? Because on account of that... And then he starts with his jawbreakers about phenomenon and science and this phenomenon and the other phenomenon. So, of course, the citizen was only waiting for the wink of the word, and he starts gassing out of him about the Invincibles and the Old Guard and the Men of 67 and Who Fears to Speak in 98, and Joe with him about all the fellas that were hanged, drawn and transported for the cause by Drumhead Court Martial and a New Ireland and New this, that and the other. Talking about New Ireland, he ought to go and get a new dog, so he ought. Mangy, ravenous brute, sniffling and sneezing all over the place and scratching his scabs. And round he goes to Bob Dorden, that was standing out for half one, sucking up for what he could get. So, of course, Bob Dorden starts doing the bloody fool with him. Give us the paw. Give us the paw, doggy. Good old doggy. Give us the paw here. Give us the paw. Arab bloody end of the paw. He'd paw. And Alf trying to keep him from tumbling off the bloody stool atop of the bloody old dog. And he talking all kinds of drivel about training by kindness and thoroughbred dog and intelligent dog. Give you the bloody pip. Then he starts scraping a few bits of old biscuit out of the bottom of a Jacob's tin he told Terry to bring. Gobby galloped it down like old boots and his tongue hanging out of him a yard long for more. Near at the tin and all, hungry bloody mongrel.